Our emphasis today is on the truth of God's Word. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalm 86:11. Psalm 119:72. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Psalm 119:72. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Psalm 119:72. Children, would you please stand for your Bible class? We open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. You can see the subject on the screen today. Know and speak truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. I found the translation from the German very, very interesting. If you'll turn to the back of your bulletin, you will see that translation. Ephesians 4, 25, which says, therefore lay the lie down and speak truth. I feel like that needs to be read several times, so I'm going to do it so that you can hear it again. Ephesians 4:25 from the German. Therefore, lay the lie down and speak truth, each one with his neighbor, because we are members of each other. German translation, Ephesians 4:25. You've heard it several times now, but listen to it again. Therefore, lay the lie down and speak truth, each one with his neighbor. Ephesians 4:25. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to turn our attention away from the various distractions of the world and focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. How magnificent it is for you and me to realize that God has provided for us the completed canon of Scripture. We have the Bible, God's wonderful Word. That magnificent book covers so many different subjects. There's so much there for us to learn. And God has given us a system by which we can learn God's Word. We call that the grace system of comprehension or the grace system of learning. We're thankful to the Lord that He's given us the means by which we can study, read His Word while in fellowship, and then be able to magnify those words and utilize those truths as we live each day. We're privileged to be here today. God has been good to us to allow us this privilege. We want to take advantage of it in these magnificent moments that we have today. Before we begin, may we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours to turn our attention away from the various distractions of the world and focus our minds upon your magnificent Word. We're thankful that we can study, we can read, we can make application, we can utilize these wonderful truths. Bless us in these moments of study, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we get in a few moments to Ephesians 4:25, we're going to be emphasizing, as you can see on the screen, know and speak truth. But I would ask you, if you will, please, to look in your Bibles now at Ephesians chapter 4 and begin with me with verse 19. They, having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay down, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Verse 23, and that you be renewed, you put on in the spirit of your mind. And then it says, in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, verse 25, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steals steal no more, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, verse 30, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. What is amazing to me is, as I study God's Word, there are so many unique things that come up for me to see. I'm going to share some of those with you this morning, even as we spend some time on Ephesians 4:25. This verse of Scripture says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak truth, each man to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Over the past weeks, we've been emphasizing the various infinitives. What we have today is an aorist middle participle, to lay aside lying and speak truth. What is amazing to me is that as I turn through the pages of God's Word, I find so many interesting things, such as what I'm going to show you now in Ephesians 4:7, which says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What I've discovered is that the Word of God has many things to say to us. Oftentimes, we do not catch it at first. We do not see it. But as we move along, we find these things become so extremely important to us. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor right now, and that is to open your New Testament to the Gospel of John. Most of us are familiar with the content of John chapter 3. We've looked at it, studied it many times. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. In John chapter 3, verse 5 now, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm sure that I read that to you so rapidly this morning that you probably didn't pay too much attention to what I've just read. If you look carefully, you will see in John 3, 5 that Jesus answered and said, and you will notice various translations. For instance, the King James and other translations say, verily, verily, or truly, truly. I always have fun when I deal with some of you. I had fun this week as I asked one of our men to give me the translation of Greek letters. And I was pleased because it let me see that over these 40 some odd years, I've said some of these letters enough from the Greek that you've been able to see it and translate it from the Greek to the English. What I'm doing for you right now is to challenge you. If you have the Greek New Testament before you, look at John 3, 5. If you don't, that's okay. I'm going to put these letters on the screen for you to see. In John 3, 5, Jesus answered, and you'll notice what I've done for you. I put down the word Jesus, and then I put down the translation of the two words, truly, truly, verily, verily. I'm giving you time to look from where you're sitting at the overhead projector, and you're seeing the verse, and you're seeing the letters in the Greek language. I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you to say it out loud, but I'm going to tell you that as you're looking at these letters, most of you by now are able to say Alpha, Mu, Eta, Nu. If you've done that, then I want to compliment you and tell you you're exactly right. But let's take those letters from the Greek, Alpha, Mu, Eta, Nu, and put it into English. And what you have here is A-M-E-N. Amen. From here on out, as you're studying your New Testament and you come across the expression verily, verily, or truly, truly, I trust that you will remember what I've just shared with you in these past moments. And that is that the Greek of those two words are amen, amen. We have an emphasis in the scripture that every born-again believer should have a reverence for the Word of God, a reverence for truth. A Christian and a Christian's desire for the truth, the Word of God, must be avid, ardent, eager, enthusiastic, devoted, fervent, zealous, and insatiable. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that I've looked those words up to get the synonyms. But I want you, if you will, to just remember, our reverence for the Word of God should be avid, ardent, eager, enthusiastic, devoted, fervent, zealous, and insatiable. A believer must give the highest priority in his life, in her life, to learning and applying Bible facts and Bible principles. It's very important that I share with you slowly what I am presenting to you now, and that is reverence for the truth, an insatiable hunger for God and God's Word. A believer must give then the highest priority in life to learning and applying Bible facts and principles. There are many examples in the Bible by people of God to obtain truth. When you make your way through the pages of John chapter 4, through those verses 39 to 42, you will find the Samaritans. When you go to the book of Acts and get into chapter 10 and verses 30 to 33, you'll find again an emphasis upon individuals who have a desire to obtain truth. Cornelius. When you go to the book of Acts and find yourself in chapter 17, verses 10 through 13, you will find the believers known as the Berean believers who had a hunger and a desire for the truth. What this is saying to us today is that we should have, all of us as believers, a hunger, an insatiable hunger for the wonderful Word of God. My responsibility in teaching the Word of God is very important. It's important for various reasons, and I'll put some of these on the screen. Number one, God's Word is the only source by which a born-again believer can know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people talk about loving the Lord and spend very little time with the Word of God. A lot of people will say, I love the Lord, and yet throughout the week very little time is spent in receiving the thinking, the mind of Jesus Christ. All I'm trying to do is to tell you that teaching the Word of God is the pastor's responsibility, because God's Word is the only source by which a born-again believer can know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. It is absolutely essential that a new believer love Jesus Christ. And this cannot be accomplished without first becoming knowledgeable of who Jesus is. The question that I have for you this morning is I ask myself the same question. And that is, what is our attachment and what is our knowledge of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it that we know about Him? What is it that we know about what He's done for us, what He's doing for us even at this very moment? We must become knowledgeable of who Jesus is. Number two, daily study of God's Word leads to occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. These are not words just thrown into the air. I want you to see them. Daily study of the truth leads to occupation with Jesus Christ. It leads to a daily walk with the Savior, beautifully presented to us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. We are to become knowledgeable of who Jesus Christ really is. We're to become aware of the fact that He was willing to come to this earth as the God-man and go to the cross and bear the sins of the world. We must study and understand that there are so many things about Him presented in the Word of God that lets us know what all He's done and is doing for us on a day-by-day basis. Number two, again, daily study of the truth of God leads us to be occupied with Jesus Christ. A daily walk with the Savior. Number three, biblical truths learned under the faith principle of applied teaching produces confidence during our lifetime on the earth. Let's look at number three for a few moments. Biblical teaching, biblical truths learned under the faith principle of applied teaching. Those are not just simple words. They are words that should remind us of the fact that we have the responsibility of being under the teaching of the Word of God, the principle of applied teaching. It produces confidence during our time on the earth. Number four, the Bible is the only source of God's viewpoint. If we want to see from a vertical divine viewpoint, if we want to see as God sees, we must understand that the source of having God's viewpoint, vertical viewpoint, is the Bible. Number five, God's Word is the basis for orientation to God's plan for our lives. It is so amazing to me when I think in terms of what has transpired in my life over the years and how good God has been to me and to my companion and to our family and how He's blessed us in these magnificent years that we've been with you folk. The Bible is the only source of God's viewpoint. It is the means by which we are oriented to God's plan for our individual lives. And as I stand here today, I'm aware of the fact that sitting in this auditorium, there are individuals who are concerned about God's plan for your individual life. God's Word is the basis for orientation to God's plan during your lifetime on the earth. Number six, knowledge of truth produces sanity and stability of mind. Let's spend a few moments right there. Knowledge of truth produces sanity. I'm sure that all of us desire to be sane. Knowledge of truth produces sanity and stability of mind. In other words, what we have to understand is that if we want to see as God sees and understand as God understands and have a knowledge of what God wants us to do in life, it's knowledge of the truth that produces sanity and stability of mind. Number seven, the Word of God is the basis then for divine guidance. If you will, you can spend some time in Romans 12, 1 and 2, which emphasizes the fact that God has a plan for our individual lives. He wants us to be transformed and renewed in life. He wants us to see as God sees, beautifully presented in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Number 8, without the Word of God, the believer's mind will be corrupted by satanic influence. Let's look at that for a few moments. If we do not find ourselves hungry with this insatiable hunger for the Word of God, without the Word of God, the believer's mind will be corrupted by satanic influence and become actually a repository of the world's viewpoint and false teaching. It's amazing to me to see in the Word of God that God desires that we have divine vertical viewpoint. So I'm going to emphasize again, number 8, without the Word of God, the believer's mind will be corrupted by satanic influence and become a repository of worldly viewpoint and false teaching. Presented to us beautifully in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 3. What I've discovered is that when you go to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18, you will read these words. But you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him the glory both now and forever. A casual reading of that will not do for us what it needs to be done. If you'll notice up here when it says grow in grace and knowledge, you will notice that the word is a verb that is a command. It is a present tense, which means continuous action. The active voice says the subject produces the action. The imperative mood is the mood of command. What we're reading here is that the Word of God is saying that you and I have the responsibility, it's a command, that we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. I need to share with you the fact that God has given to us a wonderful system of learning. We call this the grace system of comprehension, but we also call it the grace system of learning. So if you've learned in the past the statement grace system of comprehension, that's fine. But let's put down now grace system of learning. What we emphasized in the past and what we continue to emphasize is that when we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study, that time is dedicated to us being sure that our minds and hearts are properly related to Jesus Christ. We call it a time of restoration to fellowship, RTF, a time of restoration to fellowship. This is not new to you. You've heard this many times. Maybe you have wondered why we spend some time at the beginning of a session in silent prayer, usually not for long. But the purpose of that silent time is for us individually to be sure that we're cleansed of sin and we're filled with the Spirit and we're ready to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. We call that restoration to fellowship. We emphasize time and time again 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And many, many hundreds of times over these past years, I've emphasized the fact that that little word if there, all through 1 John chapter 1, emphasizes what is known as the third-class conditional clause, which says maybe we will do it or maybe we won't. So when you look at 1 John 1:9 and it says, if we confess our sins, it's literally saying we may or may not do that. If we do not do that, we fail in one of the greatest, most magnificent responsibilities that we have as a believer. And that is to know without doubt that our hearts are right and in tune with Jesus Christ. Oh, I know we've called it restoration to fellowship, RTF. We've talked about being in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've said all these things in many different ways over the years. This verse of Scripture says, grow. It's a command. Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you'll notice again, I need to tell you that is a verb in the imperative mood. It's a command. Always I've said to you, if God has made a command for us, He's made it possible for us to fulfill and accomplish that particular imperative verb. If He said to us, grow in grace and knowledge, He's made it possible for us to be able to do that. And we have emphasized that if He said, if we'll confess our sins, He'll cleanse us, He'll do that. In other words, we have an emphasis upon the fact that the command has been given by our Heavenly Father. And when we fulfill that command, it is a satisfaction to our Heavenly Father. It's real. And we're able to know without doubt that we are in harmony, cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit. I realize that oftentimes when people talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, they think that there's something unusual and strange about that. That's not actually normal, but it is extremely normal. God wouldn't tell us to do something that is not normal. He says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is all, I can't even remember it now. Be not drunk with wine wherein is all excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. I've quoted that probably 10,000 times, and right now I can't get it very well. So that's helping you to help me. I appreciate you folks. Oh my. Be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, if you look carefully in the Greek, you will discover that that is a command. And God doesn't make for us a command that cannot be accomplished. This is an imperative verb also in 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God has a system for us to learn. It's called the grace system of comprehension. It's called the grace system of learning. Let's look at it. Number one, our Lord has a magnificent system for every born-again believer. Our Lord has a magnificent system for every person who is saved by God's grace. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to each one of us as a believer that He has a plan for us. Notice number one again, our Lord has a magnificent system for every born-again follower of Jesus Christ to know and to understand the plan of God. God is not hiding His plan from you and me. He wants us to be fully aware of what His design is for your life and mine. Number two, the word perception describes that which is essential for a believer to move from a baby believer to an advanced believer. I pause for a moment to tell you that if you go to the book of Corinthians, you will discover that the Apostle Paul is speaking to those Corinthian believers, and so many of them were traveling the wrong pathway. And he was saying to them, I don't want you to be little tiny babies. It's okay to be a baby, but it's not right to stay a baby. And when you look in that passage of Scripture, you will discover that the Greek word is napios, which means a nursing tiny baby. God does not want us to remain as tiny babies. Perception, wonderful. Being a baby believer, wonderful. But to stay a baby believer, not good at all. Number three, the word perception means that the believer has a hunger, a desire to love the Lord Jesus Christ preeminently and become saturated with the mind of Jesus Christ. As I put this on the screen, many of you right now are remembering what Philippians 2:5 says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word perception is a magnificent word. It means that the believer has a hunger, an insatiable hunger, a desire to really and truly love Jesus Christ preeminently, first place, and become saturated with his thinking. Number four, the grace of God makes it possible for each believer to leave spiritual babyhood and become a spiritually advanced individual. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:1-2-3, that he wanted to speak to the believers in Corinth, but he could not properly do it because they were little napios. They were little babies. Now I'm aware of the fact, I have it on the screen for you to see, no two people have the same IQ. I've always emphasized this with a little bit of humor. Some people are smart, and they know it. Some people are not smart and know it. And there are some people who think they're smart, and they're not very smart. But they think they're smart. Since no two people have the same abilities, the same IQ, the same background, the same strengths and weaknesses, all of this about each one of us did not take God by surprise. I really don't know what you think about your IQ, and I'm not really concerned about that. But I am concerned about all of us in relationship to our spiritual IQ. And what I'm aware of is that a person who does not have a strong IQ is not suffering from great damage, saying that they are not able to advance spiritually. Because of that grace system of comprehension that we talked about a few minutes ago, no matter what a person's IQ is, in fellowship, in right relationship with Jesus Christ, cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit takes His wonderful word and makes it applicable to each one of us. God has taken care of the IQ situation and given us a system of learning. We must learn and know that. I want you to see the next points I have for you. Number one, living the Christian life is a human impossibility. If you haven't already learned that, it's time to learn that. Living the Christian life is a human impossibility. We must all realize, number two, that we have a sinful nature. We must also realize that in our sinful nature, there is an emphasis in that sinful nature of weaknesses and strengths. All of us must realize that we have a sinful nature, and our sinful nature has strengths and weaknesses. God has taken care of our IQ situation. We must realize that we have an old sin nature. I have that on the screen as number two. Number three, we must know that the sinful nature has those two trends that I mentioned a moment ago. Two major ones with strengths and weaknesses. There's an emphasis in the old sin nature of lasciviousness on the one hand and asceticism on the other hand. A lot of people with their old sinful nature has the strength of asceticism, which in reality becomes a weakness because they think, because of their strength in their old sin nature, that they're actually far better than anyone else they know. And when they compare their sins to your sins, they understand that their sins are not as bad as your sins. And so they're very proud of their sins, which they do not classify as two major sins. We must know that there's a difference between the human and spiritual IQ. If a person has the case of smarts, he will never learn, she will never learn the Word of God, because the Word of God is spiritual phenomena. I don't want to go so rapidly that you miss what is being said, because this is powerful. If a person has the case of smarts, that person has the inability to learn the Word of God, because we have to understand that God's Word is a spiritual phenomena. When you were born into God's kingdom and became the recipient of imputed righteousness, God moved you so magnificently and gave you the ability at that time of conversion so that you could take advantage of what He's provided, so that in fellowship you could be the recipient of His magnificent thinking. That means that we as believers have the ability, the third part, body, soul, and spirit, we have that part which makes it possible for us to gain spiritual advantage and spiritual knowledge. If a person has the keys of smarts, that person will not learn the Word of God, because they have to realize that learning the Word of God is spiritual phenomena. Number two, a person can be illiterate and from his human ability not learn the word. Who then can learn the word is my question. A person who is illiterate or a person who is intelligent. The one who's depending on perception and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Are you all with me? Are you able to see what is being said?
Amen.
What a person learns by spiritual IQ is food for the soul. What a person learns by human IQ is not food for the soul. It could cause a spiritual cancer. Now, some of you are going to have to think about that for a good while. What a person learns by human IQ is not food for the soul. What a person learns by spiritual IQ is food for the soul. What a person is learning by human IQ, no matter how good it is, could become a cancer of the soul. When a person is growing spiritually, it will assist in the mentality, even in the technical field. The reason why I'm excited about our children learning the Word of God is because what I know about our children and what I know about you and me is that if we learn God's Word, it's going to be additional advantage in whatever field of endeavor we find ourselves in. Did you see what I said here? When a person is growing spiritually, it will assist in the mentality, even in the technical field. Being a strong person in the Word of God will make a person a better student, a better wife, a better husband, a better teacher, a better day laborer. It's important for us to be able to see the importance of truth. Number six. Spiritual IQ is the amount of God's truth stored in the innermost being, in what we call the human spirit. The Hebrew word for that is chokma, C-H-A-K-M-A-N, chokman. And the Greek word is epinosis. A lot more to be said, and we will say some more things about truth in the second service. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the truth. We're thankful that the Scripture says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We realize that we have the responsibility here today, as born-again believers, of having our souls saturated with the truth. We pray that we will have always an insatiable hunger for God's thinking, the thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we'll be able to see as our Heavenly Father sees, as the Lord Jesus Christ sees. That's the reason why we are so enamored by that verse which says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Wow. What a challenge. What a magnificent statement. We realize that we have the responsibility of seeing as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ from a vantage point which is divine, vertical viewpoint. Today we come now to the close of the service, and we're aware of the fact that there may be someone who's hearing this voice today who's never accepted Jesus Christ. They could do that now because the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." How fantastic that is. We realize, as has been already stated here at the beginning of the service today, that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth and go to the cross as the God-man to pay for the sins of the world. Every person who's hearing these words today, if they've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, could do so because Jesus Christ gave himself also for those individuals. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.